Cricket for the Crocodile by Ruskin Bond, an audiobook published by Puffin Books, an imprint of Penguin Random House India, and being read here by the author. Cricket for the Crocodile, Chapter 1. Ranji was up at dawn. It was Sunday, a school holiday. Although he was supposed to be preparing for his exams, only a fortnight away, he couldn't resist one or two more games before getting down to history and algebra and other unexciting things. "I'm going to be a test cricketer when I grow up," he told his mother. "Of what use will maths be to me?" "Well, you never know," said his mother, who happened to be more of a cricket fan than his father. "You might need maths to work out your batting average. And as for history, wouldn't you like to be a part of history? Famous cricketers make history." "Making history is all right," said Ranji, "as long as I don't have to remember the date on which I make it." Ranji met his friends and teammates in the park. The grass was still wet with dew, the sun only just rising behind the distant hills. The park was full of flower beds and swings and slides for smaller children. The boys would have to play on the river bank against their rivals, the village boys. Ranji did not have a full team that morning, but he was just looking for a friendly match. The really important game would be held the following Sunday. The village team was quite good, because the boys lived near each other and practiced a lot together, whereas Ranji's team was drawn from all parts of the town. There was the baker's boy Nathu, the tailor's son Sundar, the postmaster's son Prem, and the bank manager's son Anil. These were some of the better players. Sometimes their fathers also turned up for a game. The fathers weren't very good, but you couldn't tell them that. After all, they helped to provide bats and balls and pocket money. A regular spectator at these matches was Naku the Crocodile, who lived in the river. Naku means nosy, but the village boys were very respectful and called him Nakuji, Naku Sir. He had a long snout, rows of ugly-looking teeth, some of them badly in need of fillings, and a powerful scaly tail. He was nearly 15 feet long, but you did not see much of him. He swam low in the water and glided smoothly through the tall grasses near the river. Sometimes he came out on the river bank to bask in the sun. He did not care for people, especially cricketers. He disliked the noise they made, frightening away the water birds and other creatures required for an interesting menu. And it was also alarming to have cricket balls plopping around in the shallows where he liked to rest. Once Naku crept quite close to the bank manager, who was resting against one of the trees near the river bank. The bank manager was a portly gentleman, and Naku seemed to think he would make a good meal. But just then, a party of villagers had come along, beating drums for a marriage party. Naku retired to the muddy waters of the river. He was a little tired of swallowing frogs, eels, and herons. That juicy bank manager would make a nice change. He'd grab him one day. Chapter 2. The village boys were a little bigger than Ranji and his friends, but they did not bring their fathers along. The game made very little sense to the older villagers, and when balls came flying across fields to land in milk pails or cooking pots, they were as annoyed as the crocodile. Today the men were busy in the fields, and Naku the crocodile was wallowing in the mud behind a screen of reeds and water lilies. How beautiful and innocent those lilies looked! Only sharp eyes would have noticed Naku's long snout thrusting above the broad flat leaves of the lilies. His eyes were slits. He was watching. Ranji struck the ball hard and high. Splash! It fell into the river about 30 feet from where Naku lay. Village boys and town boys dashed into the shallow water to look for the ball. Too many of them. Crowds made Naku nervous. He slid away, crossed the river to the opposite bank, and sulked. As it was a warm day, nobody seemed to want to get out of the water. Several boys threw off their clothes, deciding that it was a better day for swimming than for cricket. Naku's mouth watered as he watched those bare limbs splashing about. "We are supposed to be practicing," said Ranji, who took his cricket seriously. "We won't win next week." "Oh, we'll win easily," said Anil, joining him on the river bank. "My father says he's going to play." "The last time he played, we lost," said Ranji. "He made 2 runs and forgot to field." "He was out of form," said Anil, ever loyal to his father, the bank manager. Sheru, the captain of the village team, joined them. "My cousin from Delhi is going to play for us. He made 100 in one of the matches there." "He won't make 100 on this wicket," said Ranji. It's slow at one end and fast at the other." "Can I bring my father?" asked Natu, the baker's son. "Can he play?" "Not too well, but he'll bring along a basket of biscuits, buns and pakoras, and then he can play," said Ranji, always quick to make up his mind. "No wonder he was the team's captain. If there are too many of us, we'll make him 12th man." The ball could not be found, and as they did not want to risk their spare ball, the practice session was declared over. "My grandfather's promised me a new ball," said Little Money from the village team, who bowled tricky leg breaks which bounced through the offside. "Does he want to play too?" asked Ranji. "No, of course not. He's nearly 80. "That's settled then," said Ranji. "We'll all meet here at 9 o'clock next Sunday. 50 overs a side." They broke up, Sheru and his team wandering back to the village, while Ranji and his friends got onto their bicycles, 2 or 3 to a bicycle, since not everyone had one, and cycled back to town. Naku, left in peace at last, returned to his favourite side of the river and crawled some way up the river bank, as if to inspect the wicket. It had been worn smooth by the players and looked like a good place to relax. Naku moved across it. He felt pleasantly drowsy in the warm sun, so he closed his eyes for a little nap. It was good to be out of the water for a while. Chapter 3. The following Sunday morning, a cycle bell tinkled at the gate. It was Natu waiting for Ranji to join him. Ranji hurried out of the house, carrying his bat and a thermos of lime juice, thoughtfully provided by his mother. "Have you got the stumps?" he asked. "Sundar has them. And the ball?" "Yes, and Anil's father's bringing one too, provided he opens the batting." Natu rode while Ranji sat on the crossbar with bat and thermos. Anil was waiting for them outside his house. "My father's gone ahead on his scooter. He's picking up Natu's father. I'll follow with Prem and Sundar." Most of the boys got to the river bank before the bank manager and the baker. They left their bicycles under a shady banyan tree and ran down the gentle slope to the river. And then, one by one, they stopped.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?